Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McCallum. Before we get into today's show, here's some exciting news for all ACB Radio listeners. You can now listen to this and other ACB Radio programs anytime on a telephone. Just dial 231-460-1047 and follow the instructions to listen to any ACB radio station. It's easy, and most of all, allows you to connect from anywhere there is a phone connection. Now back to today's Speaking Out for the Blind show. According to CBS News, 48-year-old Thomas Graham is a contractor and he is blind. Thomas has been blind for 30 years. When he turned 18, Thomas made one bad choice. That choice was going with his dad on an attempted burglary. The burglary attempt failed, and Thomas's dad shot and killed a police officer. Then Thomas's dad shot and killed himself. Thomas received a face full of gun pellets, and the gun pellets blinded Thomas. The burglary cost Thomas his sight and his freedom. He served 6 months in prison. It was after serving his sentence that Thomas decided to change his life. Thomas decided to become a contractor and build his family a home. KLTV reports that Thomas received a few tools on his quest to becoming a blind builder and constructing that dream house. The tools included a white cane, orientation and mobility training, and an industrial art class. Receiving the three tools has led Thomas to build the house. The home continues to be a work in progress, and he joins us to talk about his progress and journey to building that house and a contracting career. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, how are you doing, sir?
Good. So, let's first talk about your life at the age of 18. CBS News says that you made some bad choices. Tell me what was going on during those early years.
Well, I grew up on a farm in West Texas. My dad was a farmer. He was the son of farmers from Iowa, but we lost the farm in 1983, and my dad decided to work on the other side of the law. He decided to smuggle marijuana across the Mexican border, a little bit different kind of crop, you might say. But now I simply adored my dad. I thought he was the greatest man on the planet. I just absolutely adored him, and I followed him just about everywhere he went. Like I said, I grew up on the farm, and he had me with him, learning things on the farm at a very young age up until the end there at 18. But the thing that happened, he decided to burglarize a hardware store in the small West Texas town there where I grew up, and at that point he shot and killed a police officer. Now, CBS, I think, was misunderstood. Dad did not shoot and kill himself. He was shot by another man 2 days later while we was on the run, which is also the same man that shot me in the face. So that was just a little bit of a clarification on that particular part of the story.
Then you were left with these shotgun pellets that were fired into your face, and you became blind. How did that happen?
Our Ford truck broke down that same night, so we was walking out in West Texas, out among the mesquite brush, and we was hiding during the day and walking at night. My dad heard about he didn't hear about it. He knew about a gas refinery that was about 10 or 15 miles from where our truck broke down. So we walked all night. I think it was Friday night, and then we got there. His idea was to steal another vehicle so we could get to old Mexico. Well, a man there who heard that we might be in the vicinity, he had a shotgun, and he shot and killed Dad and then shot me in the face. So that's kind of how that story ended.
KLTV in Tyler, Texas, and Oddity Central said, after you served your time in prison, it was 6 years, a neighbor gave you a white cane, and you attended this rehabilitation institute in Austin. Tell me more about that institute.
Okay, actually, the white cane, that I actually received that in prison. I guess this story has been told through several different agencies and whatever, so it's gotten kind of muddy along the way. But a neighbor, after I was blinded at the age of 18, a neighbor gave me a normal cane, a walking cane, not a white cane. So they were just trying to help. They didn't, you know, really understand that you needed a longer cane if you were going to try to be mobile. I attended the rehab for the blind in Austin, Texas, after I got out of prison 6 years later at the age of 24. There was a totally blind man that was instructor of the wood shop in that rehab, which also I learned how to cook and sew and be mobile. And I was especially interested in the wood shop because I had worked for a carpenter, for one summer when I could see at about the age of 17. So, and I enjoyed doing, other woodwork, just small projects, you know, that I had done when I could see. So, and after I got blinded, I didn't think I could do that sort of stuff anymore. But it was a totally blind instructor in Austin, that made me realize that I could do this stuff. And he taught me how to use table saws, radial arm saws, all of the power equipment and use them safely. That's why I learned all of my safety techniques. And I had used a lot of tools as a sighted person. So, these tools weren't necessarily new to me. I just didn't think I could use them anymore.
Well, you just mentioned to me, you learned that as part of the industrial art class at the Rehabilitation Institute, right?
Yes, it was Chris Cole Rehab for the Blind. It's spelled C-R-I-S. It's a man's name, Chris Cole, C-O-L-E. He was a senator who in Texas who had went blind, I believe, back in the 30s or 40s. And he started that rehab for the blind in Austin, Texas in about 1971, somewhere in there. So
I see. What objects did you create in your class while you were at the Rehabilitation Institute there in Austin?
Well, everybody was crazy about big speakers and stereo, good sounding stereos and things like that. So I built a speaker box, actually. Two of them matching speaker boxes. They were about 3 foot tall, about a foot deep, and 18 or 20 inches wide. And then I put 15-inch bass woofers in them and mid-range and tweeters. So, but that was my first project as a blind person was building speaker boxes.
So how did you go from building speaker boxes to building this house? How did you come up with the idea for building the house exactly?
I had always had a passion for wanting to build my own house, especially the house that I grew up in West Texas. I was especially fond of that house. There were a lot of good memories there. But what transpired along the way from the speaker boxes on, I started doing coffee tables and end tables, entertainment centers, kitchen cabinets. Just about any project that I thought of, I guess I wanted to build it. But then I started actually making money for these projects. I went to work for the Lighthouse for the Blind in Tyler, Texas in 91, I'm sorry. As other employees there heard that I was doing woodworking and things like that, so they wanted me to build different things for them, which I did. And I actually made a little bit of money doing that sort of stuff, and then in about 4 years ago, when I moved out into the country, well, I decided to build my own shop. It was a 16x24 shop, so I did that, and that kind of gave me the idea that I could build a house. As the shop kind of went together, and I started realizing that you know what, I think I can actually do this house. And so I started on it back in May 1st of this year, and I finished about 98% through with all of the drywall now. So after that, we'll try to get some tape and bed people in here and tape and bed and paint the walls. So it won't be too much longer, I don't think.
We're going to just step back a little bit, and I'm going to ask you something else. that you do while you're not building this house. And I've heard that while you're not building the house, you run your own construction company. Tell me about this company and your business role.
Well, actually, that's another thing that the press got wrong. I'm not a contractor, and I don't have a business of my own, any kind of building business of my own. What I do in my spare time, I'm a guitar player. I sing, and I've actually produced a CD. That's basically what I now. I do mechanic work on the side sometimes. I can work on people's cars and what have you. But mostly I'm just a musician, basically in my spare time. So that's about what I do.
So what do you do with a guitar? Is it like a electric guitar or is it regular guitar?
Yes, bass guitar, electric bass guitar, it's a Fender Squire II, electric bass guitar, and that I played. In fact, I learned how to play bass in prison. They had a chapel there, and if you want, you know, when you go to church, you know, they had a band of inmates that. That played guitars and, you know, and sang on Sunday in the church there. So I actually joined that group and learned how to play bass guitar there. So, and that's something that I picked up when I got out of prison and have been playing bass guitar for, I guess that was 1987. 26 years, I guess, something like that.
I want to know more about the planning that was involved for building the house. How did you decide on what the house was going to look like, the design, and even the location for the house?
The location was simple enough. As I mentioned before, I moved into the country about 4 years ago from Tyler into a small town, well, not into a small town, but Bullard, Texas, just on the outskirts, about two or three miles outside of Bullard, Texas. I bought an acre of land here. We decided, we really want to build a house. And we bought a camper to live in while we were building the new house. The design actually come from my childhood home in West Texas, the house on the farm that I grew up in. So that's the actual design. It's the exact same floor plan, except I have switched a couple of rooms around. But other than that, it's basically the exact same floor plan and style of the farmhouse that I grew up in. And then the plan I just had to kind of build the house in my head first. Because I obviously can't read blueprints or anything like that, so I just kind of constructed the house totally in my head from the ground up, and then just, you know, put the plan into action, starting with the foundation, started mixing the concrete piers, and we mixed all those by hand. So
most of the physical labor in building the home is all on you. You've used electric tools because they're easy to line up, and you let the machines do all the work for you. You even pour the cement blocks below the house. I mean, as a blind person, I want to get into the building here. What exact electric tools have you used, and what work do they do for you in building the house? And how do you mix all this material and create the forms of cement, even pour and level the concrete?
Right. Well, the first and most important tool is a Braille yardstick. I don't know if you're familiar with those, it's just simply a yardstick with Braille on it. That is what I began with. And a lot of this, you know, comes from past experience, you know, of building, you know, the shop and other woodworking projects. It all starts with that yardstick, okay? And then I built the forms for the concrete. They were 16 by 16. These are 16 inches by 16 inches. And depending on the level of the land, it depended on how tall they were. My neighbor, he has a transit, and he come over with a transit, and he shot the corners for me to make sure that the corners were level, because there's no beeping level that is, you know, 70 foot long, so that there's no way I could level that myself. And even a string level, I had to have my wife read the string level. So, to get these forms, all at the same height. But what I did, after the neighbor shot the corners and got all four corners level, then I was able to run a string from one corner to the other, and at right at the top of the form there, and then all of my other peers in between that, I just lined up with that string. So that gave me a perfectly straight line to go with, plus how deep to pour the concrete in each pier up to the level of where the string was on the side of the form. So, and you can just drive where the string meets the form. That's where you can drive a nail in right where that string is and fill your concrete up until it reaches that nail on the inside of the form. So that's how I did all of the forms. And we mixed all the concrete in a little wagon, a little metal wagon that we pulled behind the lawnmower, our riding lawnmower, just for, you know, picking up trash out of the yard and what have you. But that's what we mixed our concrete in by hand with shovels and, you know, whatever else. And then then I had to build a stand to put the wagon on because the wagon wasn't tall enough to pour the concrete into the form. So I had to build a stand to put the wagon on. And then I was able to tilt the wagon back and pour the concrete into the form. And so, and then throughout the middle of the house, supporting the middle of the house underneath, we just used regular concrete blocks, and then brought them, just run a string from our concrete piers from side to side, and then just bring your blocks up to that string, and you have a perfectly level house that way.
So I also learned from the UK's Daily Mail and KLTV that your family is helping you with the house. Your supportive wife, Yvonne.
Yes.
She chaperones you every day and hands you the tools. And then your son's also helping you and even the rest of your family. How are all of your family members helping you build the house?
My wife, she works out of town every day. So I'm basically here by myself during the day. She gets in about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So if I misplace my hammer, then I just have to, you know, I just have to feel around until I find it. So she's not always there to hand me tools. But she has been very helpful, you know, like I said before, in reading the line level, you know, and different things like that, and some of the longer measurements, because you know, a yardstick, you know, isn't long enough. Is, you know, is obviously not 70 foot long. So, you know, some of your longer measurements, you have to have a sighted person look at those longer measurements. But yes, when she's here, she does help. She, you know, she'll find my hammer for me or whatever other instrument I've laid down somewhere and can't remember where I put it. You know, but And then of course my son, he's 14 and he's not a carpenter, so you know, so he's been learning along the way. But he, you know, he has helped. You know, for instance, mixing the concrete. He had a shovel in his hand, and he helped me mix that concrete. So he was very helpful. You know, and there again, I mean, even if I was here all by myself, totally all by myself, I would still build the house. But you have to, there are some things that you have to have sighted people do, and there again, one of them is the level. If you don't have a beeping level, the level and square. For instance, squaring up the foundation. So, I mean, you have to have a 100-foot tape measure to actually do that. And then, of course, you have to have a sighted person, you know, reading that long measurement for you. So there are some limitations, but you just have to work within your boundaries and know when to ask for help.
I've read that your family's low on funds and has needed more people to help finish building the house. So East Lake Baptist Church in Bullard, Texas, has started the fund called the Blind Man's House. I heard that the local community is helping to pitch in towards that effort. How can our listeners donate their money and time?
Okay, the donations would be sent to East Lake Baptist Church in Bullard. Now the exact address, I don't know what it is. But I can get that for you. The community knows that I have, you know, basically desired to do quite a bit of the work myself. So you know, volunteering labor and everything is, I do appreciate when people come by to help. Now, there hasn't been really a whole lot of volunteers come by, you know, but East Lake has, well, Jim McKay, actually, who attends East Lake Baptist Church, has raised about $20,000 to help toward the material in the house. So, so actually, but that's where you send your donations to, the East Lake Baptist Church in Bullard, Texas. You spell that B-U-L-L-A-R-D.
Okay. What advice do you have for our listeners who want to become the next house builder or pursue any sort of career in the industrial arts or even just build anything?
Well, my suggestion would be figure out exactly what you want to do and don't let anything stop. The main thing is you know, and especially with the internet and all the information access that we have nowadays, you know, get familiar with whatever your project is. And watch or listen to videos online, you know, with YouTube and different things like that, whatever project you're wanting to tackle, and get familiar with that and do a couple of prototypes, you know, where, you know, just kind of something to test with. And if you're going to, you know, be using power equipment and things like that, definitely, you know, get familiar, you know, read, understand, and follow all of the safety rules that come with the equipment. But the main thing is just getting up and trying, because you will never succeed if you don't try. So even if you fail the first time, that don't mean you have to give up. So just keep on trying, because it'll come to you.
Thomas, we're looking forward to hearing about the house once it's finished. And we're also looking forward to hearing about your future building projects. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much, Brian.
To donate to the fund called The Blind Man's House, write to East Lake Baptist Church, 153 East Dale Lane, Bullard, Texas, 75757. Be sure to write in the memo, quote, "The Blind Man's House," end quote, so that the church will know where to direct donations. Before we go, let me give listeners a quick reminder. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode or past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speaking Out Blind, or log on to the new Speaking Out for the Blind show website at home.comcast.net/tildamcallen3. That's MCCALLEN, the number 3. You may also email me at mcallen3@comcast.net. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
You're listening to American Council for the Blind Radio.
By the blind, for the blind.